Dr. Arthur Perry, he's one of the top plastic surgeons. He's got offices in Manhattan, New Jersey. You know, and he's been doing a show here on WOR for years and years and years. Very popular show and a great plastic surgeon. Everybody has questions on this subject, so he's the guy to ask. Dr. Arthur Perry.
No, the public wants to know.
The public doesn't give a damn.
And I went to his office, and I said, I said, look at my face. And he goes, yeah, look at your face. What can I do with your face? What can you do with his face? I go like that. I swear to God. I go, look at this. I'm getting old. Like I said, I want to maybe you could fix it up a little bit.
Dr. Oz, are you there?
I'm here, Arthur, and I want to again applaud you, having worked with you on a book and numerous other activities.
You want to talk to Arthur Perry, the best in plastic surgery.
Remarkable knowledge, but also your grace at delivering content, which is why it's been a blessing to have you on my show so many times.
When I was a resident at the University of Chicago, we had a...
That means you're smart.
As a really, really gifted physician, I want to pay you the highest tribute I can give to a surgeon, which is when people come to you, they don't come for an operation, they come for an opinion. And that's why I trust you with my friends and relatives.
I didn't realize we were going to get the Michael Jordan of plastic surgeon. 90210 bows to this guy.
And welcome. This is Arthur Perry, board-certified plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry, and I'm sitting here in the Hamptons with Susan Warner. Susan, how are you today?
Hey, Dr. Perry, how are you today?
I am great. And we are all part of What's Your Wrinkle right here
on WOR. We sure
are. The plastic surgery program here at WOR. And tonight we're going to be talking about many, many things. We've got a very, very busy show planned.
Action-packed.
Action-packed show. So if this is the very first time you've listened, this is the 18th season of this show. It's the longest-running plastic surgery show in the history of radio in the world.
Wow.
I have no idea if that's true. I made that up. But, I mean, really, could there be any longer? I don't know. All right. So tonight, you can become part of the show. You're part of it already, Susan. But you, as a listener from Maine to Virginia and across the internet, if you're listening on a podcast, yeah, it happened already. You can't call in. But it's happening live in New York right now, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. So I'm sitting here talking about cosmetic surgery with Susan Warner, who is a has her own podcast, Susan. It's go ahead and tell us the name
of
that.
I do. It's Susan is Suddenly Single, and you can find it on iHeart, on Spotify, on Google, Apple.
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
And it is a spectacular podcast. I don't miss one of them. They are really good. So if you are interested in Susan's world, which is an interesting one, you know, she had profound loss and talks all about it on her podcast.
And recovery.
And a good
recovery. Mostly
recovery. That's right. And she talks all about it. So you can get that on Susan
SWarner.com.
Got to put the
SusanSWarner.com. You can also read my essays, Newsweek, and my coming book.
The upcoming book. Yep. It's going to be a great one. So we're going to interview you, Susan, for that book pretty
soon. That's exciting.
All right. But today we're talking cosmetic surgery. So I'm a board-certified plastic surgeon. I trained at Harvard, Cornell, University of Chicago, on the faculty of Columbia. I'm an adjunct associate professor there. I'm a clinical associate professor at Rutgers. And yeah, I've been around a while. I do a lot of cosmetic surgery. I have offices, yes, in Manhattan on Park Avenue, corner of Park and 73rd. And you know what? Someone called my office this week and they said, is Dr. Perry still in New Jersey? Of course I'm still in New Jersey. I'm in Somerset, New Jersey. And I spend a lot of time there and I operate in New Jersey as well as New York. So, yeah, I'm a real plastic surgeon. Give me a call, 800-321-0710. We're going to talk tonight. I've got so many things to talk about. And some of these are your ideas, Susan. Stop gaps for facelifts. So as you age, when do you need a facelift and what can you do to kind of stall things and put it off as long as possible?
So I think that's really important. A lot of women just don't want surgery. And although maybe it's an inevitability, if you really want to stop the aging process, I think there are things that creatively you can do to help us along the way look better.
All right. And that's true. I don't know why you all don't want to be operated. I love, you know, there's no surgeon that doesn't enjoy being in the operating room.
But you're standing up awake.
It's the best. It really is. It's fun. It's rewarding. I help people. I do. I always say a plastic surgeon can do in 2, 3, 4 hours what a psychiatrist or psychologist takes years to accomplish, right?
True that is.
It's really true in terms of self-esteem and, I mean, all sorts of things. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about trends in breast augmentation over the last 60 years. We're going to talk about filler for not cosmetic reasons. So I do a lot for wrinkles, but let's talk about the other reasons I might inject filler. And you know what, Susan? Let's start off, because you thought this was interesting. Freckles. Do you have any freckles?
I do.
You do have some
freckles. I do have some freckles. Not just on my face, though. I have them on my chest. And
well, I've never seen that.
I don't like freckles.
Yeah. So, well, freckles, you know, we call them freckles as a kid, but you know what? We call them as an adult. What are they, Susan?
Age spots.
Age spots. That's right. So it turns out that there was a really good paper in this month's Dermatologic Surgery Journal, which I know you read, Susan.
I do.
Yeah, open that up along with
Vogue
and Harper's Bazaar.
Town and Country.
Right? That's right. You read the Dermatologic Surgery. So let's talk about that. There are so many treatments, and this is actually confusing for a lot of doctors, and it's also really confusing for you as a patient. And it really is, because you know, you go to the plastic surgeon or maybe the dermatologist, and you say, well, you know, what should I do? What really should I do with these freckles? And is it a laser? Is it a peel? Is it maybe freezing them off like so many dermatologists do? Or maybe it's skincare, like I like to promote, because I've got a skincare company. I've got a vested interest in that, right? Yeah. No, it's true. So what is it? What's the best thing? What do you think, Susan, right off the bat? What's the best treatment for freckles?
Lasers.
You read the article. All right. She got that one right off the bat. So it is interesting. So what they did in this paper is they compared lasers, cryotherapy, that means freezing off these age spots, or peels, you know, TCA peels, trichloroacetic acid peels, or skincare with retinoids. Retinoids, that's like Retin-A, or with my stuff, which is nighttime, has a retinoid in it. Or skincare with hydroquinone. That's a prescription drug now. It used to be over-the-counter, but it's prescription. So those are all the treatments that are being done by plastic surgeons, yes, and by dermatologists, yes. So let's take them one by one. So the laser, you got the right answer. 91% of people who have laser treatments, and it's the fractionated carbon dioxide laser that is, I think, the best one. 91% got at least a partial response. That means a lot of the freckles went away and a lot just got lighter. 43% of people got a complete response. That means they were all gone. But with the laser, 23% of the people had what we call adverse events.
23%?
23%.
What are adverse events?
Yeah, good point. Well, how about hyperpigmentation? That means they get darker.
Mm.
Or hypopigmentation. That means
white.
You get light spots, white spots, or textural changes. So I always say, I mean, this is on the surgeon, because it's got to be done properly. We have to do cosmetic zones. So if you have a freckle on your cheek, I can't just laser that. What I have to do is laser the entire cheek unit. That's called a cosmetic unit, because when I look at you, and you look at me, and I'm looking at you right now, Susan, I'm not looking at your whole face. I'm looking at your forehead, looking at your nose, I'm looking at your
and
lips.
And you're thinking of all the procedures I need.
That's correct. But seriously, I'm looking at your skin.
That was serious.
That's right. And I'm looking at your cheek, for instance, not just the freckles. So we have to not violate the cosmetic unit. So we need to go all the way up to the eye, down to the nasolabial fold, things like that. And then we should not get textural or color changes there. Redness of the face, a lot of people get. I had a patient that I did a laser on about a week and a half ago. Not quite a week and a half, maybe about a week. And she's still red from the procedure. And then there's scarring. That is a possibility. 7% of people in this study got scarring. Yeah, that's not a good one from the laser. But there's ways to prevent that. I prescribe all sorts of creams to prevent infection. We want to keep your little fingers away from your face. That's really the cause of scarring.
I think COVID taught us that.
Yeah, but some people scratch. We don't want to scratch. And so what I've started doing with lasers is everybody who gets a laser now
gets mittens?
No, not mittens. They send me their picture every day, every single day, so I can keep track of what's going on. So we don't want it to get ahead of you. If you've got a little open area or something like that, we'll go ahead and give you treatment immediately. So lasers, well, that's one. Cryotherapy, it's something that I do. I freeze off warts. I'll do that. Sometimes I'll freeze off a seborrheic keratosis. Maybe something called an actinic keratosis. There's a zoo of things that can grow on your skin. So cryotherapy, 75% complete partial response, I'm sorry, as opposed to 91% for the laser. So it's still not bad, but only 15% of people, that's pretty low, got a complete response. That means your freckles are gone, your age spots are gone. Now, how about peels? TCA peels. I like to do TCA peels. And a lot of people do also, but they're falling out of favor because the laser is such a good tool. But peels, complete response, only 6%.
Wow.
Yeah, and that surprised me in this study. You know, I think I've had a better result with my patients than that. And a lot, there is an art to peeling, but only 6% complete response and 58% partial response. How about Retin-A? What do you think?
Marginal?
21% got a complete response. Better?
Oh, that's
better
good.
Than a peel.
That's good.
Yeah, and that's actually the same percentage of people that get significant wrinkle reduction with Retin-A. A lot of people think it's higher than that. It's really not. But 66%, two-thirds of people got at least a partial response. That means you look and you say, yeah, they're better, but they're not gone. Skincare with hydroquinone, now prescription. And the one that most people use is called Triluma. It's a prescription drug. 64% got complete responses. That's pretty good.
But that's very good.
Yeah, but it's ongoing. You have to do it every night for months. You know, so 100% got a partial response. So certainly the Triluma is good. It requires a visit to the doctor. You can't just do it on your own. Hydroquinone is no longer over the counter. So that there it is, Susan. If you want freckle treatment, it's either a laser. Or, you know, you could have the Triluma prescribed to you. But the problem with Triluma is once you stop, she's looking at the freckles on her hands, once you stop Triluma, they're going to come back.
Really?
Yeah. The laser, they're not going to come back unless you get in the sun.
You have to stay out of the sun.
You have to stay out of the sun.
Can you wear a sunscreen and be in the sun?
A good one. Like
yours?
Like Dr. Perry's daytime. Oh, a shameless plug for mine.
Well, I set you up on that.
Yeah, there you go. That's because I've got zinc oxide, which is the best sunscreen. So, yeah, if you protect your skin, then, you know, eventually they're going to come back because everybody has lapses of skin, of sunscreen. You go out for 5 minutes and you accumulate that over the spring and the summer, you're going to get those spots back. So it's sort of like gardening, Susan. You know, you go out in your garden and weed, and then 3, 4, 5 weeks later, the weeds are back. The freckles can come back. You have to stay on top of it. Well, I'm Dr. Arthur Perry. This is Susan Warner with me. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we've got Shelley on the line and many other callers. Give me a call, 800-321-0710. We'll be back after these words. What do you want from your skincare? I know what you want. You want products that actually do what they're supposed to do. And you want skincare that's simple to use. You want skincare that's non-toxic. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I've created exactly that. Great skincare with effective ingredients, inexpensive, and easy to use. And to look great, you only need 4 products. I've got daytime SPF 20 skin protector. That's your foundation. I've got a moisturizer and a nighttime serum that contains vitamin C and A, fruit acids, antioxidants, and skin brighteners. And once you've used my Clean Time soap, well, you're never going to be able to go back to the cleansers that have been harming your skin for years. I want everyone to try my products. So for a limited time, I'm giving WOR listeners 20% off. Go to drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR21 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, sitting here in the Hamptons today with Susan Warner, my co-host. Susan, are you keeping warm today? Are you using your moisturizer?
I use my moisturizer every day and night.
Yeah, it's important this time of year.
I like
really
your moisturizer.
Is. Well, thank you. And that's Dr. Perry's Soft Time. And it's so, by the way.
But what do I like the best?
What do you like, the soap? No, you like Dr. Perry's Nighttime.
Nighttime. People are commenting about my skin. It's got to be the nighttime.
It's definitely the nighttime.
And it feels good.
That's good. That's good. And that's the combination. It's got vitamin C and vitamin A, fruit acids in the form of lactic acid and citric acid. as well as skin brighteners and antioxidants. It's everything you want to put on your skin, and I left out all the stuff that you don't want. So, but it is getting cold out, and but you know what I did last week?
What'd you do?
I went to visit the Tribeca Surge Center.
Oh, and?
And, oh, it's coming along. We've got sheetrock up. They've spackled the sheetrock. You know, the electric lines, the oxygen lines, everything's, they're getting in there. You know, we're looking forward to a March opening. This is taking forever, but it's coming along.
Great.
So I can't wait. We'll be talking more and more about it as we open our doors, hopefully in March. I've been talking about this for a year on these radio waves here, but we're getting there. So the Tribeca Surgery Center, it's got three operating rooms. I will be operating there and performing facelifts and rhinoplasties and tummy tucks and liposuction.
That's exciting.
And it is exciting. And but this Thursday is another exciting day, Susan. This is the update. Of
what's everything. This Thursday?
This Thursday, I am taking a jet up to Burlington, Vermont. Why? That's somewhere near the Arctic Circle, because that's where my Clean Time soap will be rolling off the factory. Oh, my God, it's taken forever. But here we are. So we've got thousands and thousands of bars. So I figured I'd go up there and meet the new manufacturer. We've been Zooming for a year or something. And finally, and I'll be bringing back some boxes with me so we can start selling it.
You might get mugged for that spring.
I know.
You better be careful.
You know, I have over 1,000 bars back ordered. You know, because of our...
It's fantastic. It's a wonderful product.
Really. So we're going to be reordering very soon because this is going to sell out quickly. All right. So that's my week.
You need to get it to more people.
And we will. We will. You know, we're advertising on exactly one radio station. What would that be?
W-O-R.
That's it. And but there's all sorts of things up ahead, so I'm excited about the skincare. All right. We've got Shelley on the line. What can I do for you? What's your wrinkle, Shelley?
Hi, Dr. Perry. We're big fans of you down here in South Carolina. And I have a question for you because I went to my internist recently, and she said that I have an area along my midline on my abdomen that's going to herniate, and it's going to require surgery. And I asked her if at the same time I could have a tummy tuck. And she said I would have to ask a plastic surgeon. So that's what I'm wondering, Dr. Perry. Is it possible to have a tummy tuck at the tender age of 73? And will I have to lose my belly button?
Only aliens lose their belly button, Shelley. So no. So here's the story. It really depends on how healthy you are. So if you've got a lot of medical issues, then and you have a hernia, you want to really get in and get out and get that hernia repaired. So some hernias need to be fixed right away, and some do not. And that really is the expertise of a general surgeon. That's who you want to go to for a hernia. And I often do go into the operating room with the general surgeon, and they fix the hernia, and I do the tummy tuck. So, if the hernia is very big, sometimes you need what's called mesh. That's usually a plastic material that we use to buttress your belly. Usually you do not need your belly button removed. In fact, that's an unusual situation. I know that actually did happen to my mother when she had her tummy tuck I believe she was in her late 70s, early 80s, but she didn't have it for cosmetic reasons. She had a giant hernia. So the hernia gets addressed. The general surgeon is the one that decides whether or not the hernia needs to be fixed or not. The teeny tiny hernias, that's a technical term, sometimes don't need to be fixed. The medium-sized ones are the ones you can get in trouble with because the intestine can get caught in the hernia, and then you get abdominal pain and a strangulated intestine, and that becomes a medical emergency. Usually will happen at the worst possible time. It'll be a weekend night in the middle of winter, so don't let that happen. See the general surgeon. The giant hernias often don't need to be operated on because they're at low risk of being getting strangulated. But the general surgeon needs to make that decision. And then the decision to have a tummy tuck at the same time depends on whether or not you have any heart disease, whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, and things like that, because certainly having a tummy tuck adds significant risk to that hernia repair. So that's a discussion between you and your internist and hopefully a plastic surgeon that will be looking out for you and not looking to just do yet another procedure, giving you an informed consent and hoping you don't turn him or her down. So that's the answer, Shelley.
Okay, I get it. But let's say, very difficult because, yes, there are other diseases, chronic diseases in the background, but they have been mitigated, or do pretty good.
Do you have diabetes?
Yes.
Okay,
A1C of 5.2.
Okay, well, that's very good. You're doing a good job with your diabetes. Any heart disease?
Yeah, but no symptoms and no symptomology in the last 10 years.
Okay, well, maybe not. You have to pass a stress test. I'd have a nuclear stress test. There's a lot. I visit a good cardiologist who will be honest with you. And remember, the most important thing is being healthy, not looking perfect at 73. You want a doctor that's going to be looking out for you. So be careful when you do this. You don't want to go into the coffin looking lovely, after having a tummy tuck. There you go.
Oh, dear. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Perry. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you for the phone call, Shelley. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. So I'm sitting here with Susan Warner. And Susan, you look about 45 or so, I'd say.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go. And, you don't need a facelift. But I know you've had some filler and things like that. But
by the best.
Well, thanks. Who's that?
Dr. Perry.
There you go. All right. But seriously, so there comes an age when women might need a facelift.
Yes.
And that age might be 50. It might be 45. It might be 60. Might be 70. It depends on what you look like. So there are certain things that there's really no substitute for. You can't fix the bands in the neck with anything but a facelift. By the way, do you know the difference between...
Wait, what about... You can't use Ulthera?
Well, Ulthera. Okay, good question. So Ulthera is not really going to fix the bands, but Ulthera can tighten the skin of the neck a little bit, and it's one of the few things that can help crepey skin of the neck because we really have to be very careful if we peel or laser the neck. I can do some lasering, but the neck is one of the areas that can scar from the laser. So I like not to do a lot of aggressive lasering in the neck. We aggressively laser the face. But remember that lasering is not going to help the jowls too much, a little bit. It's not going to help the bands of the neck. So those are the things that a facelift addresses. So Ulthera, that'll help the jowls a little bit. But remember that Ulthera is a procedure that I've been doing it for a long time. I've had it 4 times. You're looking at my face and you say, yeah, it's time for another one, Dr. Perry.
You cry too much.
I do. Yes, true. But certainly Ulthera is useful, particularly people who don't want surgery, particularly men who don't do too well with facelifts because they cry too much. That's not it. No, there's a lot of reasons why men don't. They don't like scars on their face that they can't hide with makeup. Their hair is not long enough to cover scars. Lots of reasons. So Ulthera is a good alternative, as is filler for men and for women. So those are some of the stopgaps. Do you know about the barbed sutures, Susan?
No. What are
good,
barbed sutures?
Good, because lots of people ask me about those. They say, well, what about those? Because they've seen these influencers that we talked about last week who have had barbed sutures. Those are the it's actually a very interesting concept. It's the concept of a fish hook. So, yeah, if you put a fish hook into tissue, it goes one direction, and then you pull it back the other way, it won't come out. In fact, it grabs the tissue. Right? That's what a fish hook does. So any of you who have been unlucky enough to have a fish hook embedded in your skin or your tongue or, heaven forbid, your eye, it's a big problem. You have to have surgery. You have to have it numbed up to take out the fish hook. But we took advantage of that with barbed sutures. So we put in these fish hooks, lots of them on the barbed suture. That's what it is. She's looking at me like I'm crazy. But that's really what it is. I put it in by your ear, and I thread it. That's where the thread comes in. I thread it underneath the skin, and I hook it onto tissue, whether it's around the marionette line. You're looking at me
like...
Do you
do this often?
No, I don't. But I helped a very large company who will remain nameless develop their product, and I did cadaver dissections, and we had a really good product. But the reason they didn't take it to market is because there's a 100% failure rate with thread lifting, 100% at a year. and a 30%, 30 to 40% complication rate, including things like infection and extrusion and visibility and tethering of the skin. Really bad procedure. So, you know, went off the market for a while, and then they came back a couple of years ago with dissolving versions instead of permanent versions. And those things, I used them. Yeah, I got into the game again and used them again and stopped using them because they look terrible for 2 weeks. You look like a Kardashian. Not the Kardashians from California, but the Kardashians on Star Trek. You know, you don't watch Star Trek, but it bunches up your skin for the first 2 weeks. The next month or so, you look okay. And then by 6 or 8 weeks, they start to sag again. So down they come.
Doesn't sound good.
Doesn't, yeah, and it's expensive. You need 3, 4, 5 threads on each side. You know, I'm not a good advertisement for people who do these threads. I don't like them. I won't do them. I'm not going to do it. Go the third round when someone improves them a little bit more until I see good publication. So threads, no. Lasers, yes. Lasers are a good stopgap, right?
Yes.
They are. We talked about them before. They're good for the freckles, but they're also good for wrinkles. But we have to be aggressive with lasering. And I've tried, you know, kind of dancing around with more superficial lasers, and they just don't seem to do the work. So I'm doing more and more aggressive lasers, but there's downtime. I think you'd be a good candidate for a laser, Susan. She's seen the pictures. But, you know, in the end, people who have had the laser more aggressive, they're happy because they do get a little bit of a lift of their cheeks. They do get reduction of wrinkles and reduction of brown splotchy pigmentation. So lasers are good. But they're not a facelift. They're not. They're a stopgap measure. So when we come back from our break, we'll talk a little bit more about things we might be able to do. And there's so many other things we're going to talk about today. 800-321-0710 is the phone number here at WOR. 800-321-0710. We'll be back after these words. These last 2 years have aged us terribly, but masks are coming off and it's time to get back out there. I'm board certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry and I'm here to help. I smooth forehead wrinkles with Botox and creatively use fillers for wrinkles around the mouth. Filler also plumps shrunken lips and filler smooths the jawline. It makes your chin and cheeks more prominent and along with lasers and Ulthera even improves upper chest lines and aging hands. And when it's time, I'm a surgeon. I perform short scar, face, and neck lifts to help restore your youthful appearance. My offices are in Manhattan on Park and 73rd and in Somerset, New Jersey. Give me a call at 833-PERRY-MD. That's 833-P-E-R-R-Y-M-D. Let's sit down and come up with a plan to get you looking and feeling better. Check me out at www.perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we are back. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, sitting here in the Hamptons with Winston, who hasn't uttered a word, and with Susan Warner. So, Susan, when do you think this book is coming out?
Early fall.
Early fall. Mm-hmm. I am very excited to read this thing. Hopefully
Thank you.
Not going to mention your co-host in it.
Why would I?
Why would you? All right. So the soap. I didn't mention either. My goodness. I didn't mention that we're giving away bars of soap to callers tonight. So if you give us a call, you have a real question, and Shelley will be sure to send you your soap in Charleston, South Carolina. We will also be sending it to the callers that are coming up. 800-321-0710 is the phone number. And this is a premium bar soap. I always say that soap is the forgotten stepchild of skincare, Susan. It really is, because people, you know, you go to Costco, you spend 50 cents on a bar of soap, and it does all sorts of stuff to your skin. It changes the pH, the acidity of your skin. It irritates your skin. If you use a good soap, like My Clean Time, which has 3 patents on it, you get the proper pH, and you have no sodium lauryl sulfate, no sulfates to irritate your skin. You know what I use to froth up my soap?
What?
What? What? What kind of an answer is that?
What do
you're
you
supposed
use?
To use? Guess it, Sally. It's Kiaha.
Kiaha.
Oh,
right.
Yes. It's a really fun word to say, Kiaha. It's made of Chilean soap bark. It's a natural product. You can eat it. And in fact, it was one of the earlier ingredients in root beer. So that's what's in my soap. It's really good. We're giving away bars of Dr. Perry's Clean Time if you give me a call if you have a question. So fillers, a lot of plastic surgeons don't like doing fillers, Susan. We've talked about this. She's showing me a picture of a Sharpay, which could definitely use fillers. Definitely. Yeah,
correct.
There you go.
The perfect filler candidate.
But a lot of plastic surgeons, you know, they think it's beneath them. They want to be in the operating room 4 or 5 days a week. And I love being in the operating room, but I also love doing filler.
Filler is an art form.
It really is an art form. And so many people just do such a lousy job. That's why when you look
jam
on
it
television,
in. Yeah,
jam it in 15, 20 minutes, boom, you're done. Don't numb it up. Just pop that into the lips there. They look like
not just lips, just all over the face. They just jam it in.
That's right. And your face, your lips look like knockwurst. Do you remember knockwurst? Those giant hot dog things? That's what, so we want to do it right. But you know, I do a lot of filler for non-cosmetic reasons. It's become a tool.
For what?
Well, I did a woman. I saw a woman last week who had a cleft lip. So she was about 70 years old, late 60s, early 70s. Had many surgical procedures throughout her life, but was left with residual deformity, with issues, with her lip kind of being asymmetrical, with the scar being visible, without what we call a filtral ridge, you know, those important ridges between your nose and your Cupid's bow of your lip. And her nostril is peaked. And so I numbed her up, and I used the filler to make her lip more symmetrical. Use the filler to fill in some of the scarring. Use the filler to give her back what she never had, the filtral ridges. And we met this week, and we looked at her photographs, and it's really nice and very rewarding to be able to do this. Prior to using filler, she would have to have I can't speak tonight. She would have had a lot of surgical procedures try and create these things. We would have done, you know, 20 years ago, I would have done a complex procedure to maybe what's called the dermal fat graft to give her ridges. We don't have to do that anymore. And the nice thing about filler is there is some degree of permanence. A lot of people think, well, you do it, you got to do it again in 8 months or 10 or 12 or 14 months. But it turns out something very interesting happens when we put filler in. Doesn't matter what kind. And I like hyaluronic acid, although this week I did a man's nasolabial folds, very deep nasolabial folds. And I knew that hyaluronic acid just wouldn't do it. So I used Radius. Radius, that's R-A-D-I. She's writing it down. I-E-S-S-E. Radius calcium hydroxyl apatite is the formal name. It's the building block of bone. But that is it's a very thick filler. It's not for everyone, and it's certainly not for fine wrinkles, but if you've got really deep nasolabial folds, well, you know, Radius is the answer. But hyaluronic acid and Radius and even fat, they have certain properties that make them very interesting in that when we inject into the tissue, it stimulates your body to make its own collagen. The reason it does that, it's kind of fascinating if you think of the biology, and Susan's snoring away now. Okay. No, it's not that. It's interesting. My audience likes these things, right? Yes, they're all raising their hand. Winston is. So what happens is your body thinks it's having pizza every night, gaining weight because we're injecting something into the skin, and it's putting some pressure on the cells that make collagen. It's interesting. So at the end of a year, you get about 20% of the effect of the hyaluronic acid is permanent because you've made more collagen. And one of the also interesting things, Susan, is when I inject it into a place like the earlobe. Let me see your earlobes. Yeah, you could use a little bit.
Nah, they're fine.
Okay, well, you know, a lot of people get little small involuted earlobes, or I've taken little children that have had congenital abnormalities of their earlobes. I had one child who was about 6 years old, and he was born without the lower half of his ear. So we could go through complex surgical procedures, or in his case, I injected fat into the ear multiple times and grew his earlobe. I can also do that with hyaluronic acid. And I've done that for women that have asymmetric earlobes and small earlobes, not just the ones that kind of involute over time because they've lost fat in the earlobe and they've been wearing very thick and heavy earrings. Yeah, that can cause some damage to the ears. But there are people that just have funny-looking earlobes, and we can use – that's a technical term also. We can use this filler to give you a more normal appearance to the ear. So that's not cosmetic, really. It's more reconstructive. You know what else I use filler for, Susan?
What's that?
How about acne scars and chickenpox scars? You know, is that cosmetic? You know, the line between what is cosmetic and what is reconstructive, it sometimes is very blurred. That's like with a breast reduction. When is a breast reduction cosmetic? When is it reconstructive? Because certainly I help back pain with a breast reduction. And with tummy tucks, as Shelley was talking about earlier, there are reconstructive aspects to tummy tucks because I strengthen the muscles of the belly that get spread out in obesity or pregnancy. And so we get reconstructive medical benefits from tummy tucks and medical benefits from breast reductions, and sometimes even medical benefits from upper eyelid lifts if you have skin that is obstructing your vision. So the line between cosmetic and reconstructive often gets blurred. You know, some people say, well, if insurance covers it, it's reconstructive. But insurance often doesn't cover reconstructive efforts. So insurance, you might not know this, Susan, will not cover you if I want to make a scar look better. Now, a scar is not cosmetic. It came from trauma. It came from surgery or something like that. But insurance, most of the time, will not cover you if you want that scar made better with what's called a scar revision. So it is interesting. So it's not always what insurance pays for. It's, what a medical definition of reconstructive or medical need as opposed to cosmetic need. So, Sarah, there are things that I do with filler that really is pretty interesting and has nothing to do with the cosmetic surgery. It has to do with more reconstructive surgery. All right, I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. This is What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. And the phone number, 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. So, you know, there have been millions and millions and millions of women that have had breast augmentations since 1962. You know what happened before 1962, Susan, if you wanted your breasts made larger?
No.
Well, plastic surgeons, some of them, dermatologists, some of them, and some really shady characters injected silicone gel or silicone liquid into the breasts.
Did people really do that?
They did that. You know, Imus, the great radio personality, used to joke about that all the time. But it's no joke if you've had it in your breast, because what happens is your body sees the silicone and it scars around it. It tries to wall it off. So that was in the late 1950s and early 1960s. So in 1962, a couple plastic surgeons in Houston, they got the idea, well, let's take that material and put it in a bag, a silicone gel, put it in a bag. And that was, I think his name was Frank Giroux. I met him when I interviewed down there in Houston. So Frank and another plastic surgeon named Dr. Cronin and Dr. Biggs, there's a few that were involved in this in Houston. They did the first breast augmentations in the early 1980s and 1960s, rather. It caught on so rapidly, and different companies got involved very quickly to make these implants. But one of the problems with the implants in the early 1960s was that they all got hard. All the breast implants got hard, and plastic surgeons didn't understand what was happening. So here's what they did. By the end of the 1960s, they took those implants and they said, well, if they're getting hard, let's make the outer membrane of these things, the bag, really thin and really soft. Terrible error, because all of those implants ruptured. Mm. Yeah, so that was the era of ruptured implants and all sorts of problems. And then they did all sorts of things. By the 1980s, they were saying, well, maybe we'll put plastic on the outside of silicone. And that was the MEM implant, the polyurethane implant. And then some people said, well, let's take the silicone on the inside and put it in another bag, and that has water, saline on the outside. That's a double loop. There were so many variations of it. But what happened to so many women in the 1960s is that they got hard capsules around the implants. So they didn't feel soft anymore. And so many of those people were people that might have posed for a magazine that we might call Playboy or Penthouse or something like that, the pornography of those of that era. And that's when those are the pictures that people saw. I mean, how often do you see other people's breasts? You know, you just don't. I mean, women might see them in a locker room, but for the most part, you don't see other people's breasts. But you do in those magazines. And those women had breast augmentations, and they were usually very large implants, and they were implants that had those hard capsules around them. So interestingly, by the 1980s, people were asking for that look because they thought that was beautiful. The look of the hard implant, the implant that was high up underneath the collarbone. And I've had plenty of women say, I want those implants. They show me a picture from a magazine, and I say, wait a minute, this is a complication. I don't want to create that. I want to have natural-looking breasts, and natural-looking breasts are not ones that you can see when you have a shirt, you know, bulging. And really, all you have to do is look on TV now and look at some of the influencers and people, and you'll see exactly that look. So the styles were big implants, and showy implants until probably just a few years ago, Susan. But there's a trend now, and I've been doing this for years. I've been trying to talk women down because my attitude with doing a breast augmentation is to make you look normal, not abnormal. And what is normal? Do you know what the average size breast is in a bra?
First of all, the answer to that would be is normal what's normal for you. But
yeah,
I
but
think
what's
that's
also normal for society, there is a normal.
But I think that's interesting because there's a pervasive feeling amongst women my age who have had some sort of breast augmentation or reconstruction that the doctor often gives what they want. So you can talk and talk and talk and say what you want, but they do what they know, in air quotes, is right.
Isn't that terrible? Can you imagine going to someone and they are choosing your clothing, mm-hmm, or your hairstyle?
Well, it's even more important than that, though, because it doesn't come off.
That's correct. Or someone who wants a tattoo, and you say to the tattoo artist, surprise me. Give me what you think looks good.
But I know women that have requested one thing and come out with another because the doctor says, I know what looks better.
And that's terrible. It's an arrogance. There's mm-hmm. no question about that. And quite honestly, I know a lot of plastic surgeons whose aesthetic sense is not that good.
Well, there is also a difference between a male viewpoint and a female viewpoint.
Absolutely.
And I think that male surgeons don't often take that into account.
No question about it. So in my entire career, I started doing breast augmentations, I hate to say how long ago, 1985 was my first one in residency at the University of Chicago. And I always let women choose the size. And the way I do that is by telling you to buy the bra that you want to fit into. So the number always stays the same. So if it's 32, 34, 36, that stays the same. What will change is the cup size. So let's say you're an A cup and you want to be A. You didn't answer my question. It's big B, small C. That's considered average. You're in the fashion world. You know that.
I could have answered that. I just didn't answer
it. Okay, didn't want to answer that. Yes, Susan is in the fashion world. She knows a lot about fashion. And clothing is designed for a big B, small C, and that's considered normal. Anything bigger than that is a jumbo. What do you call that in your industry? The large size.
Large sizes. No, large sizes.
Or a petite.
That's little.
Little, okay.
But that's not little. That's actually just short.
Okay. Well, how about small breasts in your okay.
And I would actually argue that clothing is not fit for a small C, big B. It's fit more for a small B, medium B.
And I will respect your opinion, then. Mm-hmm. Okay, because you know about this.
I don't think that designers design for anything, you know, ideally for anything bigger than that. A woman with a good C chest will pull on a garment.
Okay, all right. But I want you to make that decision, not me. So some people bring in a lot of different bras. And by the way, it shouldn't be a padded bra. It should be an unbacked bra. We don't want to have extra in the bra. We want to know exactly what size your implant should be. And I've done it that way, and I've been very, very happy where we go through. We start with, you know, 150cc implant, and what does that mean? You know, an ounce is about 100 or so. I mean, a cup size is about 100 to 150cc's, and an ounce is 28cc's, right? So
how do you do it in the inverse? If people want reduction, they can't bring in a bra size they want to be. How do you do that?
Ah, that's a lot vaguer. So there, is that a word, vaguer? More vague?
It is now.
Yeah, it is now. Okay, since it's on the radio. So if someone comes in and wants to be smaller, I give them a choice. You're either going to be average size, lower than, which I tell them is going to wind up in the big B, small C range. Now you tell me average is small
right.
B, okay. Or I say you'll be, you know, if you want to be small, then it's going to be, you know, a small B or maybe even a large A.
I have a question for a woman who has been birthed with like large breasts, like a D or a double D. Is her body not set up for that size? Like, do you have any problem reducing it well and attractively? Or is the girth of her body and the depth set up for a large breast?
That's a great question.
Anatomically.
Yeah, yeah, and it depends on the person.
It does. So, does that ever happen, though, that you can't take a double D down to an A?
Has it happened? I don't think that's been a problem. Because remember, an A is not an A for someone who's large is not an A, the same cup size, the same volume as an A.
Yeah.
So because it has to do
with. But if
with,
you have a woman who is a 34 double D.
Right.
Can you take her to a 34 A and it works on her body?
Well, you can, except in that situation, I always warn them, you know. But a lot of women want small breasts, particularly mm-hmm. athletic women.
I understand that.
So, you know, it's all about education, and I'm not here to tell you what your breast size should be. On the other hand, if you tell me, you know, you want to completely remove your breasts, I mean, I suppose I would do that with a lot of counseling. If you tell me you want to be a double G with implants, I'll tell you to find a different plastic surgeon mm-hmm. because I know that the larger the implant, the more problems you're going to have over time. Mm-hmm. So we're going to continue this discussion after our break. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. The phone number here at WOR is 800-321-0710, 800-321-0710. We'll be back after these words. What do you want from your skincare? I know what you want. You want products that actually do what they're supposed to do. And you want skincare that's simple to use. You want skincare that's non-toxic. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I've created exactly that. Great skincare with effective ingredients, inexpensive, and easy to use. And to look great, you only need four products. I've got daytime SPF 20 skin protector. That's your foundation. I've got a moisturizer and a nighttime serum that contains vitamin C and A, fruit acids, antioxidants, and skin brighteners. And once you've used my Clean Time soap, well, you're never going to be able to go back to the cleansers that have been harming your skin for years. I want everyone to try my products. So for a limited time, I'm giving WOR listeners 20% off. Go to drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com or give us a call at 844-DR-PERRY. Use the WOR21 code for the discount. To learn more, listen every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR. These last 2 years have aged us terribly, but masks are coming off and it's time to get back out there. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I'm here to help. I smooth forehead wrinkles with Botox and creatively use fillers for wrinkles around the mouth. Filler also plumps shrunken lips, and filler smooths the jawline. It makes your chin and cheeks more prominent, and along with lasers and Ulthera, even improves upper chest lines and aging hands. And when it's time, I'm a surgeon. I perform short scar, face, and neck lifts to help restore your youthful appearance. My offices are in Manhattan on Park and 73rd and in Somerset, New Jersey. Give me a call at 833-PERRY-MD. That's 833-P-E-R-R-Y-M-D. Let's sit down and come up with a plan to get you looking and feeling better. Check me out at www.perryplasticsurgery.com. And don't forget to listen to me every Saturday evening at 6 p.m. right here on WOR.
You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. What's your wrinkle?
And we're back. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and I'm broadcasting live from the Hamptons this evening with Susan Warner. And we've got Phil on the line. What can I do for you, Phil? What's your wrinkle?
To Susan, I think she's a great addition to your show, and I think my wife really likes listening to her.
Well, that's good. Yes, she keeps me honest, and you know.
What I wanted to say is, my wife recently had a procedure done with you, was laser surgery on her face, and she's absolutely happy with what you did. And I think people should know how a professional you are, and how honest you are, and ethical, and how available you are too after the surgery, which I think is highly unusual because a lot of doctors aren't that way. And she was very happy with what you did. And I think people her age, she's 71, are sort of reluctant to get that procedure done, but she looks great. And she said she should have done it 10 years ago.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you got to bring her in 10 years ago. Well, thank you, Phil. That's very nice. You know, I, as you know, particularly with some procedures. I give. I want you to FaceTime every day because I really want to see what's going on. Like laser procedures, for instance. You know, I've had in the past people who have not shown me their pictures every day, and you know, they get issues. You know, they either they get food around the area, and you can get little infections from lasers and things like that. So I see. I want to see you every day, and now with Zoom and FaceTime, it's really great because people used to have to come into the office for these visits, and now with good quality phones and computers, we don't need to do that. So that's good.
Yeah,
and as you know,
indeed,
I give all my patients my cell phone number, which is good and bad.
Yeah.
And I tell
that's
you,
good.
Yeah, call me.
And I wanted to ask you one more question, if I could.
No.
Could you mentioned you mentioned Voluma before on your show?
Yeah.
But what do you use it for, and how long does it last?
Okay, so there are all different types of fillers. In fact, I use probably almost a dozen different fillers in my office now. I have Juvederm products. I've got Restylane products. I've got the new Revance products. I've got Prolenium products. There's so many fillers now. There really are. And they're all a little bit different. There are some similarities. But Voluma is the one that I use to make chins bigger and cheeks bigger. So it's a very dense filler. And it actually is one of the longest-lasting fillers, almost 2 years, Phil.
Wow.
So, you know, when I put it on the cheekbones to make them bigger, which a lot of people need and a lot of people don't need, and one of the big mistakes in plastic surgery is putting Voluma or something like that on cheekbones that are already pretty big, and then you look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, so that's not too good. Yeah, you know, Arnie looks good for himself, but it doesn't look good on a woman or a lot of men. So Voluma is a very good one, and it's one of the Juvederm products. It's the thickest of their materials. And, you know, there are different ones that go in the lips and in the fine wrinkles and in the nasolabial folds. So, yeah, that's the answer about Voluma. I like it. It's a good filler.
Well, doctor, thank you very much for your time and everything, and we really appreciate what you did for my wife.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your calling. And
thank you.
And
good night.
And you get your free bar of soap, Phil.
Great. That's what I'm waiting for.
All right. Great. Thanks so much. I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. You're listening to What's Your Wrinkle right here on WOR. We've got a lot of calls backed up. Is Sandra on the line, Noah?
I'm here.
All right, Sandra. What can I do for you? What's your wrinkle?
Well, I wanted to know more about the new Botox that came out. I was told that you can do it on your forehead, you could do it other areas, but not above your lips. Why is that?
Well, okay. So, well, Botox can be used anywhere. It's where
I mean the new one.
One. Okay, so the new one is called Daxxify. Daxxify. I always wonder where they come up with these names. Now, it is going to be released any week now. It's not out yet in most offices. So they quote end of January, early February. The only real difference between that one and Botox and Xeomin and Dysport and Jeuveau, which are the other ones that are FDA approved, is that it's expected to last a little bit longer. Now the company, when they get their FDA approval, they're only allowed to advertise what they test the substance for. So, for instance, Botox came out first with those 11 lines, the glabellar lines. And then as they did studies, they applied to the FDA for more indications. That doesn't mean you can't use it. So doctors can use these, they're drugs, by the way, Botox and Daxxify, it's a drug. You can use it on these areas, but it's considered off-label use. Completely legal. But off-label, the company cannot advertise it, they can't promote it, they can't tell doctors they can use it in those areas. So there's really no difference between Daxxify, Botox, Xeomin, Dysport, those different ones, in where we can use it and how we use it. It's just going to last a little bit longer. Hopefully, that's what the data shows us. The reason I don't like it in the upper lip, by the way, is because when we put it around the lips to try and get those wrinkles treated, we can get asymmetry, we can get drooling. Joan Rivers used to joke about that. You know, we get lisping, and I don't think it's the greatest thing. It's got to be done so precisely and symmetrically. It's difficult to do because it does travel a quarter inch in all directions, in, out, up, and down. So that's why I don't like to use it around the lips. I think it works great in the upper face, the horizontal forehead lines, and the 11 lines between the eyes and the crow's feet. Sandra, we've got to end this call because this show is coming to a close. I could do this for 2 hours, 3 hours, and I'm sure Susan would love to be sitting here every Saturday night for 2 or 3 hours on the radio. Right, Susan? She says, sure. All right, I'm board-certified plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry. You've been listening to What's Your Wrinkle? If you're interested in the products that I talk about on this show, the website is drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. You can go ahead and order that Clean Time soap. When we get it in later this week, we'll send it right out to you, so it'll probably get to you the following week, but it's very exciting. If you want to learn more about me, it's periplasticsurgery.com. That's periplasticsurgery.com. My office in Manhattan, 212-753-1820. I'm doing all my procedures in Manhattan and in New Jersey. I operate at Lenox Hill and at Robert Wood Johnson, and I'm here to help all of you. So, Noah, thanks so much for great engineering. It's been a real pleasure to be here. 18 years, 18 seasons of this show. It seems like a long time. Seems like just yesterday. Thanks so much for great engineering. Thank you, Susan Warner, for being the best co-host since Mike Roizen. And we'll be back next week. Thanks a lot.